Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the words that we have heard and read this night, for the great and glorious message of the King who came. We thank you for that truth that so shapes and comforts us in the midst of our daily lives. Help us to focus a little bit more upon that truth, indeed, upon your Son. And bless that word not only to our hearts, but the gospel to the world, that it may hear the good news, that the darkness may not push it away, that many people will know the joy that Jesus brings to all who trust in him. In his name we pray. Amen. That word joy is a common word that has come up in the various readings and certainly in the songs that we have sung. It expresses the emotion that people have as they sing those carols, and as the emotion that is set before us by those who wrote those portions in the New Testament. You know, if you Google the word joy, as I did this week, you will find that Google will respond about 50,800,000 results. I didn't check them all out. But I did check out what Google says about ISIS, which is on many people's minds today, and at the centre of many conversations, fears and sorrows. And it says about 33,100,000 results. Obviously, there's a lot of interest and a lot of talk about joy. Joy is an important emotion, an important state for people, no matter what else is happening in the world around them. It's been defined in Webster's as a feeling of great happiness, an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. We all know something of that emotion, don't we? As it's often in rich supply in various ways at Christmas time, and not just by the kids that are among us. But where do we look for joy? Many people look for joy in food, in drink, in dining out, in being with their friends. They look for joy in their family. They look for joy, strange as it may seem, there are some who look for joy in their work. And certainly in their recreation. As Australians, we're really known for joy, especially when we beat the Windies. As Christians, we certainly also find some satisfaction in these things and a measure of joy. But we also have come to understand that the things of this world really are short-lived, and the emotional responses that they draw out from us evaporate quickly over time. Like everyone else, we know how food and drink, especially at this time of year, if we overindulge, will leave us somewhat, can I say politely, unwell. And certainly despite that, in time we'll be looking once again to satisfy our hunger and our thirst. We know what it is to have friends and family to disappoint us. Even in mid-celebrations of Christmas, as we look and see unexpectedly that look of shock, that horror, that disappointment when they unwrap the gift that we spent so much time and love in choosing specifically for them. And the joy evaporates, doesn't it? Then think of the accounts, the household accounts, the family accounts, the personal accounts after Christmas. They terrify us, for we know that we've blown our budget well and truly, given it a very serious mauling. Now, these things, as special as they are in the moment and for a season, really are short-lived joys, even fading in the memory of time. We will not find ultimate and long-lasting joy there. But that doesn't mean that there is not real, lasting and ultimate joy to be found and to be known at Christmas time and to continue on throughout the days that our lives make in this world and even beyond this world. The things of the world cannot give us ultimate joy, and at the same time we need to recognise that they should not move us to great despair. But C.S. Lewis made an interesting reflection. He said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. The fact that we cannot find true and ultimate lasting joy in this world, even though we know and long for it, tells us that there is a true and lasting ultimate joy from out of this world. Not from man, not from experience, but from God. That's the reality that is particularly driven home to us here at Christmas time. That's the emphasis of the Bible, of God's word, to those who read it and take the time to think about it. It tells us that as we celebrate, that what we are celebrating is the fact that God has come into this world and into our lives to deliver us from all that is wrong about ourselves and from this world, which the Bible declares sin and its fruits. This other world joy, which we know in this world, is to be found, the Bible tells us, in Jesus Christ. Joy came down at Christmas. It's a catchy song title, but it celebrates the truth. It declares the reality. It is here in Christ that this other world joy can be known. In fact, Jesus tells us towards the end of his public ministry, and before his death, that it was his intention in life and through that ministry and even through and because of that death to say to us that we would know joy. He says that your joy may be full. And you don't really know who Jesus is and what he has accomplished if you don't know something of that joy that he gives. And so at this Christmas time, I want us to see that we are reminded that this joy is, first of all, an announced joy. That's the message of the angels to the shepherds, wasn't it? As they announced the birth of the Christ, who is Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, we read of it. Chapter 2, verse 10, where the angel declares, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." There's, you know, an editor would say, there's too many words here. You get to the point. But the angel said, no, get to the emotion, get to the amazement, get to the wonder. This joy is terrific. That's what God wants to bring to you. And he multiplies words to draw out the fact that here in the birth of this child, God brings joy to people, to this world. In fact, the angels were so overwhelmed with joy, even though they didn't need Jesus for this purpose in their lives, they began praising God. They held a worship service right there and then as the shepherds watched and wondered. Think of that, angels who are holy, who don't have a sin problem, and not under God's condemnation. Here they were full of joy as they just merely announced the reality. What about us? But secondly, we also begin to see as we think through these readings that we've had tonight from God's word, that it is very much an anticipated joy. This wasn't a last-minute decision of God to send his son into this world. It was planned from the beginning. In fact, we read from the Old Testament of prophecies about the coming Christ, the Messiah. And there was this note of joy that we picked up in Isaiah chapter 9, where Isaiah anticipated that those who would hear of the birth of this child would rejoice according to the joy of harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for unto us a child is born, he went on to say, and unto us a son is given. This is a great joy. He says in Isaiah 25 that those who had looked forward to the coming of Christ would then say, we have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Jesus, summing up the whole of the Old Testament witness toward his coming, put it this way: I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see. It's an anticipated joy, but it's also an applied joy. It's been announced, and people have been waiting for that announcement. The question is, have you received it? Has it been applied to your life? Have you entered into that joy? That's what the angels are doing here when they say to the shepherd, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. It's as if the angel is saying to the shepherds, God means it for you. Yes, even you, poor, humble, working late into the night when everyone else is relaxing or in their bed. People often despised. God is calling us to bring you into this joy. But it was not limited to them alone. We can include ourselves in that you, because the angel then immediately adds, which shall be to all people. Don't you just love that? To all people. It includes you. It includes me. People throughout generations, across time and around the world. There are no limits to the opportunity for this other world joy, this Christ-given joy. It's for anyone and everyone who wants it. Yes, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you've messed up your life or that of others, been good or bad. How bad you feel, how busy or lazy you have been, how disappointed you have become, or how you have disappointed others. How disillusioned with life, or how naively you find all your present joys in the things of this world. It is still offered to you if you will hear the angel's invitation. In fact, he tells them where it is to be found. He tells them to go to Bethlehem, to look for a newborn child. He may not look like much as what the angel is saying, but don't be fooled. He might just be a baby laying in a manger, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, nothing rich, nothing expensive, nothing hygienic about all of this. But don't be fooled. Believe me, this is the one who brings real, lasting, ultimate joy to all who believe in him. Here is God's solution to all the troubles, the pains, the disharmonies, the heartaches that this world goes through, that people go through, that relationships go through. Even the best of relationships know what I'm talking about. Here is the joy, the true joy of peace with God, not a false substitute, the real joy. For here is Emmanuel, a precious name. It means God with us. In other words, God who became one of us to deliver us from ourselves, from our own guilt, from our own shame, from our own sin and our own condemnation because of that sin. Which he did at the cross by his death for our sin. The reality declared by his resurrection from the dead. He's ascending to heaven to rule. And from where he says he will come again to judge. Having found Emmanuel. Having found the Christ that had long been promised and now announced. These shepherds took it to heart. Having sought, they found, and then they went, we read, returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. That's how Luke's gospel starts. It's the start of the gospel message, the Christmas message, if you like. Fear turns to joy in the announcement of the birth of Jesus. But you know, if you go through Luke's gospel and go to the end of the gospel, the same thing happens. When Jesus rose from the dead, we read there that the disciples were initially terrified and frightened. But a few verses later, they were overcome with joy. Luke closes his gospel account with the words, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Sounds like the shepherds all over again. What about you and I? Do we know this joy? Is praise and thanksgiving to God a central part of what Christmas is all about in our lives? Is this a joy, therefore, that overflows the Christmas day and the Christmas unwrap to include the life that we bring to God as a life of praise and glory. Few of us have received a gift that we would find it impossible to find words to describe. Some gifts are better than others, but usually we can describe them and describe how we feel about them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul writes about Christ's becoming man. And he says, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." You know, Paul was no fool with language. He was very good with words, but he could not put the wonder of this gift into words, the joy that he knew into words in knowing Jesus. At Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Christ as a man. As we reflect on this incarnation, as it's called, we too should be filled with this joyous amazement and thanksgiving. Joy, desired by all, anticipated for long, enjoyed by many, declared to all, lasting forever in Christ. It is fitting then that we close tonight singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come."